Okay, good evening. Actually, look, actually, good morning. this week's Parsha is Parsha's Kisisa. It's also Parsha's Parah. And such is the opportunity this year to see the relationship between these two Parshios, the story of the Chet HaEgel and the din of Parah Aduma. And Chazal actually linked the two together. Let's see. Let's discuss it and see what it means for us. First of all, just in terms of the relationship between the two Parshias, Rashi tells us in Parshas Chukas, Parah Aduma, Mashal leben Shivcha, Shetinef Paltin, the experience, the Chet HaEgel, is compared to a small child who has, as it were, made a mess, we'll be polite, in the king's palace, Amru. And they said, Tavo Imo, let his mother come, Vitzekanea Chatzoa, let her clean up the filth that her child has created here in the palace. Kach Tavo Para Utechaper ala Egel. So the Para now, come, be mechaper, come, as it were, and cleanse away the sin, the deficiency of the Chet HaEgel. And the question is, what is the relationship to it between the two, as it were, the story of the Parah Aduma, the dinim of the Parah Aduma, and the event of the Chet HaEgel, above and beyond the fact that a parah does give birth to an eagle, that a cow does give birth to a calf. So let's examine it. First it says, Vayara am kiboshesh Moshe. This is the introduction to the sin of the Egel. It says, Vayara am kiboshesh Moshe. And the am, usually, as we'll see, am is a reference to the lower echelon, so the am, i.e. the Erevrav, those, the mixed multitude that Moshe Rabbeinu took out of Mitzrayim. Vayara am kiboshesh Moshe. Boshesh, right, he tarried, he was late. They were assuming that he was going to be back on Tezayin, right? On the 16th of Tammuz, when really he was supposed to be back on the 17th of Tammuz, at midday, the sixth hour. And they didn't understand that Moshe Rabbeinu intended to count the 40 days, including those days only that he could have the night along with the following day. And since he went up during the daytime, so that day couldn't be used as one of the count of 40 days. The Arizal talks about the idea that 40 days exactly were needed, just as a child in utero develops to a certain stage after 40 days, it reaches a certain degree of development inside the mother's womb. So too also Moshe Rabbeinu required those 40 days, 40 full days, in order to completely transform his physicality, cleanse his physicality, so that he should be a complete receptacle for the Torah that he was going to bring down to the Jewish people. But be that as it may, it says, Vayar am ki boshesh boshe. Moshe, again, Rashi says the word boshesh means to tarry. La redis min har, to return down from the mount. Vayakela am al Aaron, and they gathered on Aaron, and they said, what's the story here? Vayomre lav kuma selan elokim. Make for us some sort of a godlike, as it were, signpost, someone that can lead us. Not that they believe that whatever they can make is the creator of the world, but someone who, as it were, something that would give us some direction. He could lead us in front of us. For Moshe, this person, right? Asher ha'olam mitzrayim, took us out of Mitzrayim. Lo yadano mehayolo. We don't know what happened to him. So let's examine what exactly the process was in this Boshesh Moshe. Boshesh Moshe. So Rashi says, we look down over here, Boshesh Moshe kitagumo loshon ichur. He's not here. He's late. And then they bring examples of this where the word Boshesh means to be late with regard to Sisra and Sefer Shoftim, etc. other places. And as we spoke about before, they assumed that he was supposed to be arriving, he was coming back down the mount with the Luchos on the 16th of Tammuz, when in fact he was supposed to be coming down the 17th, and so on and so forth. What took place then? What was the scenario? So Rashi describes for us, Bah Satan. In other words, the first thing is, he's not here. Why isn't he here? He should be here already. That's the first thing. Then comes the Satan, V'ir Beves Olam, V'era Dmus Choshech V'afela Birvuvia. And as the Satan had the ability, as it were, to create a sense of confusion in the world. Things are confused. And again, this is using our own frailties. He's not here. Why isn't he here? And then all of a sudden you begin to notice things don't look right. Who knows, maybe he's not coming back. So the Rashi describes, Irbevis Olam Vehera Tumus Choshech Vafela Berbuvia. The Satan showed a state of darkness, of cloudiness, Berbuvia, and confusion. Lomar Vadai Mes Moshe L'chach Berbuvia La'olam. He said, well, the fact that the world seems so confusing right now, it must be that Moshe Rabbeinu is no longer with us. If we look at the Gemara, the source of what Rashi says, he makes a very clear delineation here of the stages. He says, the Boshesh, Amar Lehen, Moshe Rabchem, the Satan came. Again, who is the Satan? The Satan is a Malach. The Satan, really, we know from the Gemara in Bava Basra, the Satan, who a Satan, who a Malach, who a Yitzharar, who a Malach Moves. The Satan is a Malach outside of us. The fact that he's been able to creep inside of us, his name there is the Yetzahara. That's the Gemara Baba Barsa teaches. It's all the same. The Yetzahara is the way he presents himself inside of us. The Satan is as he presents himself as our accuser after we've listened to the Yetzahara, which is just him with another hat on, right? And then finally there is the Malchamovis. After the indictment has been brought before the heavenly tribunal, the person in fact has been convicted, so then he becomes the Malchamovis, able to extract punishment to one degree or another from the individual. Yetzara, Satan, Malchamovis. Yetzara says, do it, do it, do it. We foolishly listen. Then he switches hats from the Yetzara, and now he becomes the Satan. Satan is there as our accuser. Look what he did. And then if he wins the case, then it's not good. Then he becomes a Malach HaMavis to one degree or another. So says the Gemara, Amalen, Moshe Rabchem. Satan said to him, well, Moshe, your master, where is he? Hey, Chanu. He knew because he's not there today, and they were assuming he's going to be back today. Allah Lamaram, they said to him, you know, he went to the Shemayim to receive the Torah. Amalen, Boshesh. It's the sixth hour already. On the day you expect him to come back home, he said he was going to be coming this sixth hour, by the sixth hour, on this day. Again, we're off a day because they can only count the days from that you could include the night before. And then the day that he went up obviously couldn't have been counted. But nonetheless, it sows confusion. He's not here. What do you mean? He went up to Shemayim. He's supposed to come back. He's not back. Nonetheless, the people, right, refused to break. We're not listening to you, right? You said he's not coming back? We're not listening to you. Mace, he said, well, it's not just he's not coming back. It's not just he's being inconsiderate or unreliable. He's probably dead. That's why he can't come back. Mace, l'shicholov. People didn't listen. Herlan dumus mitoso. He showed them, as it were, his bed, right? Kilun Shamayim. Bahanu de Kamre Lila Aaron Kizem Mosheish Loyodana Mehayalo. At this point, they cracked. What took place over here? So Rav Kook, in his Perush Ein Hayah on Shabbos, explains that the Jewish people knew that they were attached to Moshe. After all, they saw Moshe being taken out of Mitzrayim. They saw Moshe at Yamsuf, by Aminu Hashem Moshe Abdo. They saw Moshe at the beginning of Matan Torah, Vegam Bechoya Aminu Lulam. They realize he's the agent of connecting them, to bringing the Torah to them down from Shemayim. They had this deep, deep feeling that he's going to be with them. So when the Yitzhar comes to them and says, you know, he didn't come back on time. Again, there is this first stage of Boshesh Boshea, right? Barshay, she's not there. And we'll see in just a moment that the initiators of this claim, it's Sheish, and he's not here. Why isn't he here? This is from the Erevah. That's why it says Vayar Ha'am, right? Pasuk says, Vayar Ha'am, wherever we're referring to the Am, that's the lowest echelon of the Jewish people. Those are the people that that Moshe took out of his own volition from Mitzrayim, who want to join the Jewish people, this mixed multitude, the Erevah, the Asaf Suf. That event. So, they said, why isn't he here? They're the agents, as it were, of the Yetzirah. The people as a whole say, he's coming back. And they redouble the indictment. Yetzirah, the Erevah. Well, why isn't he here? He's supposed to be here. No attention. They don't pay attention to him. We'll tell you why he's not here. He must be dead. Can't be. He's the agent of Hashem. He can't be dead. He certainly hasn't abandoned us. And then, says Rav Kook, the idea of showing the people his mita, what does that mean? They began to think the mita is always a symbol of a person's corporeal nature, his physical nature. His mita hovering in Shemayim, meaning he has reached such a high level, he's no longer with us physically. He's going to be in Shemayim. He's in heaven. This breaks them. Why? Because that means we're not worthy. That he lied and he's done it back on time. We're ignoring you, O Erev Rav. That's the Erev Rav is claiming. He said he's going to be back. He's not back. He's not trustworthy. He's unreliable. He lied. They don't listen. People as a whole don't listen. Or maybe he's not coming back because he's dead. No, it can't be. Can't be. He's the agent of bringing the Torah to us. Then he's become so lofty, he no longer is connected to you. That's striking a chord in their own lack of self-confidence. Indeed, we're not worthy. And now they're afraid. Ze Moshe Ish, lo yadana mehayalo. We don't know what became of him. That's the way they. Rav Kook explains it. Let's go back again. Kiboshesh Moshe. The Tzror Hamor. I have two psukim here. We would call one from Bereishis, one from Rav Parsha here in Shmos, but let's use the one that we have over here in Shmos. Vayomer Kiboshesh Moshe v'lo omer ki nis'achar Moshe l'horos ki erev rav shenikru am. Right? The Tzror Hamor says Vayar ha'am is a reference to the Erev Rav, this mixed multitude. Near Lehem, Shayu called Divrei Moshe Bli Tam V'melach. He brings an unbelievable idea that the idea of Boshesh is like Bashash, is lacking taste. I mean, the Pasuk in Eov, Kmo Haye Ochel Tofel Bli Melach, which the Targum there in Eov says, Hayis Achel Bashasha, without taste. And as the idea being, this is the attack of the Erev Rav, Yar Ha'am. If we don't understand it right away, we're out of here. We have no patience. We have no patience. This is not, right? God's not working. We're expecting him here. He's not here. That's it. Something's wrong. It's my road or the high road. If I understand it, it's fine. If I don't understand it, I have no patience for it. This is a disastrous attitude towards not just the Torah, but towards life. I mean, the Torah, right? There's a pasuk in Devarim. Ki lo davar reku mikem, ki hu chayeichem, ugravar hazeh ha'arichu yamim ala adama asher atem ovrim b'sayarden shama li rishta. Right? Ugravar hazeh ha'arichu yamim ala adama asher atem ovrim shama li rishta. So the Talmud Yerushalmi says, the Amar b'mana, ki lo davar reku mikem v'im hu reik mikem hu. Say Chazal, this is not empty to you, says the Pasuk. Hilo davar reku mikem, say Chazal, if you find a Torah idea that's empty, you should know it's not the Torah's deficiency. It's our deficiency. It doesn't mean we're hopeless. It just means that we don't have the capacity to understand, or maybe we haven't tried hard enough. This is regard to Torah, but it's also true with regard to life. Just the other day, this came up in class. He came up in class. I mentioned a certain parish. A student said, "Oh, that's a big stretch. You know, that doesn't make any sense." I said, "Wait a second, just a second, time out. You can ask a question, but you have to ask the question the right way." Rav Akiva Eiger, one of the great Talmudists of all generations, his glosses are found on the side of the Talmud. He asks questions that are referred to as bomb questions, glaring, glaring contradictions. And he concludes these questions, which is the dream of every yeshiva bachur to be able to answer. Tzarich Iyun needs further examination. Tzarich Iyun Gadol needs a lot of further examination. And sometimes he ends, "Hashem Yair Einai, may Hashem open my eyes so that I understand it." Rav Akiva Eiger has got a great question, but he doesn't say, "Oh, the Talmud's out to lunch here. The Talmud doesn't understand. The Talmud made a mistake." It means, "I don't have the eyes to see it." That's learning from a backdrop of humility. So that's with regard to Torah, but it's also with regard to life that way. Sometimes the experiences in life that don't immediately click to our worldview. So we can either confront these situations and say, "I don't understand everything. I understand a lot of things. I don't understand this. I don't understand it. Hashem Yair Einai, may Hashem open my eyes." Or there's the other attitude. "Makes no sense to me. I'm out of here. I think this is foolish." That's a mistake. That's what's really foolish. So the Chet HaEgel was built upon, first, the attack of the heir of Rav. "Vayar ha'am, the heir of Rav, ki boshesh Moshe." And as they would record, as Rashi says, Misacher, right? He's coming late. And as the Torah Mor said, based upon the pasuk in Eov, right, called Boshasha, right? Right, Boshasha is, this is tasteless, it makes no sense. Right, it makes no sense. That's the attack. If I don't understand it, it's wrong. That can happen in the realm of Torah, it can happen in the realm of life. If this doesn't make sense to me, then Chalila, heaven forfend, we shouldn't say such words as a kafira. He doesn't know what he's doing. He's wrong. I disagree with him. Unfortunately, our society is rife with this sort of talk. So now, right? The final blow, though, again, the initial was the strike of the heir of Rav. It makes no sense. And then to the rest of the people, the rest of the Jewish people, those who are not members of the heir of Rav, the question is, well, why indeed is he not here? Perhaps he died? And they said, no, it can't be. How could he die? How could Hashem take him? How could Hashem take him? Couldn't leave us without, what he called me. For sure, he's not dead. And then Satan showed them his mita, his physical place, the bed, hovering in Shemayim. His physicality has transcended this world. You weren't worthy to go with him. We're not worthy. That's why he's no longer here. Yeush, they give up. And they turn to Aaron. "You got to do something here. Moshe, we don't know what's happened to him. He's not coming back." This is the kernel of the Chet HaEgel. The inability, the unwillingness to admit that when something comes my way that I can't process the way I ordinarily process things, it doesn't mean that it's wrong. It just means I don't have the ability to process it. Well, like Rabbi Akiva Eiger said, after he asked this question to which he had no answer, "Hashem Yair Einai, may Hashem open my eyes." But if there is no humility, if it's a person is living a totally egocentric worldview, if it doesn't make sense to me, it ain't. It's not. And even though the rest of the people weren't necessarily susceptible to this way of thinking, but perhaps he's dead. No. Perhaps he's transcended us. Oh. we're not worthy. And that's the problem. You have to believe that Hashem never abandons you, whether you understand it or you don't understand it. He never abandons you. He'll never leave you. And the claim that I'm not worthy and I can no longer be connected because I'm so lowly is really just another form of the finagling of the Yetzara. That's the Chet HaEgel. Let's examine now. So it's Chukas HaTorah. The quintessential Chok of the Torah is Paraduma. Why? Because we all know those who are involved in the Paraduma, who are Tahorim, who are spiritually clean, by their involvement they become Tmeim. Those who are Tmeim, when you sprinkle upon them the ashes of the Paraduma mixed with the Mayim Chaim, they become Tahorim. How does that work? And the Rebbeinu Bachya goes through many examples of this sort of paradoxical Torah law. Kelayim. It's usher to mix wool with linen, and yet if you have, on a Torah level, if you had a beged, you had a four-cornered garment made out of linen, you could put tchelis on it. Tchelis, by definition, is the wool that's dyed with the tchelis dye. It has to be wool. Well, but that's a contradiction, no. Other dinim of Tumah V'Tahara, he recites, like, for instance, by Tzaras, if you have what he called a small leprous mark, you become tummy. If your whole body turns the color of that mark, you become Tor. And again, the idea over here in Tumas Mace, a person who involves himself in the preparation of the Eifer HaPara, the Paraduma from the Red Heifer, many people who are involved in it, they become Tmeim. And yet when you sprinkle upon somebody who's dumb, he becomes Tahor. What it means is, we don't understand everything. As much as we understand, we don't understand everything. Further, and with this we'll conclude. This is the opposite pole of the Paraduma. Of the ego. The ego, the sin of the ego was based upon, if I don't understand it, if I can't process it, then I'm out of here. It makes no sense. The system is, right, flawed. That was the heart of the sin of the Chet HaEgel. The heart of the rectification of Paraduma is, it's a whole system built on paradoxes. Do you understand it? No. But you trust Hashem. You know that one day it will be clear, even though for now it isn't clear. You trust Him, you rely upon Him. You rely upon Him. As the Pasuk says, Mi tein tor mi tameh. Pasuk Eniv, who can bring something tor out of something tameh? You think about just in the context of the Chet HaEgel. So the greatest revelations of the love between Hashem and the Jewish people are revealed as a result of the Chet HaEgel. The Yud Gimel Midas HaRachamim. You'd say the Chet HaEgel, it's the disaster, nothing good could come of it. But yet what's revealed over here is the unbelievable love that Hashem has for us in spite of everything. Chazal say that the Chet HaEgel was like a luva kala shesinsa b'chupasa. How shamed is the kala who on the way to her own chuppah, right, acts with infidelity vis-a-vis her the one to whom she's betrothed. She has an adulterous affair with someone else on the way to the chuppah. Where do you go from there? There's no place to go from there. Hashem reveals to Moshe the Yud Gimel Midas HaRachamim in Parshas Kisisa, the 13 attributes of mercy that show that Hashem's love is so deep for us that it can never be tainted. It can never be destroyed. It can never be ruined. Mi tein tor mi tame, halo echadu. Who can reveal tahara purity out of tumah, out of spiritual uncleanliness, out of blockage? Only Hashem. Only Hashem. The rectification of the chait, of needing to be always in control, and if I'm not in control, if I don't understand, then I'm out of here. Which is the root of the destructive event called the Chet HaEgel. The rectification of it is the acceptance of the chok, of the ununderstood laws, of the ununderstood in terms of how they logically relate one aspect to the other, of the paradigma. Doesn't mean that we don't struggle to understand. We do struggle to understand, but we know that we don't understand. It's our deficiency. Kilo davar reku mikempu. If it is empty, it's not the system's fault. It is we don't have the ability. We don't have all the tools to process it. This sort of idea, I think, is really encapsulated in a very, I always felt it was a very fascinating Rambam. The Rambam, oftentimes at the end of a large grouping of halachas, he cites a halachic principle and he cites the philosophical concept that relates to that principle. And that's how he completes that book. So in the case of his Sefer on Tumah V'Tahara, it's the Sefer Tahara, right? So last grouping of halachas is in Hilchos Mikvos. And the last halacha, the last perek in Hilchos Mikvos, says, V'afal pikein, he's talking about the idea of using the mikvah which is such a crucial part of tahara in Klal Yisrael, for all different types of tameim. Even one who's tamei mace, in addition to having the waters of the paraduma sprinkled upon him, he also needs to go to the mikvah. So listen to this Rambam. This is the end of Hilchos Mikvos, the end of the halachas dealing with mikvos. Afal pikein, remez yesh bedavar. Even though going to the mikvah, cleansing a person, it's not removing some physical, what we call filth. It is a spiritually cleansing process, but it is a chok. Kishem sha'ha mechavin libo latayr, kishem sha'taval tohor. A person who has intention to cleanse himself and immerses himself in a mikvah, he is now tohor. Vavu bishalun is chadish begufo dovar. Even though his body hasn't changed at all, right? Libo, so too also says the Rambam, a person who with intent wants to direct his heart to become purified. Evil thoughts, thoughts of falsehood, videos rose, or crooked world views. But once a person decides in his heart, lifrosh me'osan ha'etzos, when he's decided in his heart, I'm leaving this worldview of the bad mitos, or the false deos, the false ways to look at the world. Ve'hevi nafsho, listen to these beautiful words of the Rambam, ve'hevi nafsho b'mei hadas, and he has brought his soul, as it were, to immerse in the waters of knowledge. And to see the parallel between cleansing oneself from false ideas, from inappropriate character behavior. See the parallel between that and immersing oneself in a mikvah. The heavy nafsho b'mei hadas, a person brings himself to immerse himself in the waters of true knowledge. Tohar, he becomes tohar. Hari Omer, as the pasuk says, and here I always found this incredibly baffling. V'zarakti aleichem mayim tahorim u'tahartim mikol tumosechem mikol gleichem atareschem. A pasuk that's brought, V'zarakti aleichem mayim tahorim u'tahartim mikol tumosechem mikol gleichem atareschem. This pasuk is a pasuk not of immersing in a mikvah. This is a pasuk of the sprinkling of the waters of the Efer of the Para Aduma upon a person who's tamei meis. That's what this pasuk is talking about. Hazoya, the sprinkling process. What's the Rambam talking about? He's trying to, as it were, tell us that the entire concept of immersing oneself in a mikvah, which one does it to themselves, is meant to teach us philosophically that a person who wants to disencumber himself from bad mitos, or from bad worldviews, incorrect false worldviews, He, as it were, immerses himself in the mehadas. I must rethink my position. I must rethink the way that I conduct myself. He immerses himself, and by that he purifies himself. This is an act of one, it's done by with one's own volition. It is a voluntary act on the part of the individual. He is cleansing himself. The Rambam then goes and brings a pasuk of Hazayah, of sprinkling, someone on the outside sprinkles onto me. What is he doing? If he doesn't want to bring the pasuk Mikveh Yisrael Hashem, because he thinks that's not the pshat, it doesn't mean mikveh, so mikveh means mikveh is hope. So don't bring a pasuk. Why bring a pasuk where you're not doing it, someone else is doing it? This process of Hazayah is when someone else is sprinkling you, you're standing there like a golem, like a robot. They sprinkle you, that's part of the cleansing process. Mikvah, you do to yourself. Isn't that what we're being taught over here? But perhaps the idea is precisely that. That one of the deepest, deepest, deepest aspects of one's own self-cleansing of false ideas is to realize, I don't know everything. As much as I realize I know so little. The more I know, the more that I know that I don't know. So therefore, that's what the Rambam's trying to tell us here. It's not just to get rid of bad mitos, and not just enough to get rid of bad deos. But at the end of the day, I think that if I understand it, then everything's fine. And if I don't understand it, sorry, it doesn't make any sense to me. That's the ultimate flaw. I have to realize that after all is said and done, it's Hashem who cleanses as He sprinkles. Zarakti aleichem. I shall cleanse you. That's the most important lesson to learn when one is cleansing oneself, is that one does not have all the answers. The intellectual humility to know that as much as I understand, I realize that I don't understand. This is a crucial idea. Crucial, crucial, crucial idea. This is how the concept of the paraduma, which I don't understand, but I know is true, I rely upon Hashem, I know that He's running the show, is the ultimate cleansing of the chet ha'egel, which started off with, why is He not here? It doesn't make any sense. He has frivolously abandoned us. He's not trustworthy. If I don't understand it, there's nothing to talk about. Paradum is the exact opposite. My deepest understanding is that I don't understand everything. This is crucial for our days. Not just in terms of dinim of the Torah, but also in terms of the events of our lives. We saw the pasuk that spoke directly to learning of Torah, ki lo davareku mikem, that if you don't understand it, it's because you're not invested in it. If you don't understand it, it doesn't mean that it doesn't make any sense. It just means you don't have the ability right now to understand it. It's not only true, as we said, with regard to Torah learning, it's also true with regard to living life. It doesn't make sense to me. I'm out of here. Mm-mm. You can daven, pray for a change, but don't say you're out of here. Because if you have any sort of intellectual humility, your deepest, deepest understanding is, as much as I understand, I realize how much I don't understand. That's the cleansing of para aduma. Let the para aduma come and cleanse away the sin of the egel azohav. Let the mother cow cleanse away the filth generated by her son, the calf. Okay. It's a point really worthwhile to ponder. We confront it all the time. All the time. Okay. Be blessed and always have a Good Shabbos.